The following day, Bikita arrived at the compound in a closed coach drawn by four mules. Ryder recognized the coach and driver, and knew that they had probably been put at her disposal by the Emperor. This was further proof, if any were needed, of Bikita Almansor's influence and importance. Behind the coach, half a dozen armed bodyguards followed closely. They waited in the courtyard while Ryder ushered Bikita into the main room, where Saffron served coffee and little honey cakes. When she stood up and excused herself, Bikita held up her hand.
"Please, do not go, Sit Benbrook. What I have to say concerns you above all others."
Saffron sank back on the sofa, and Bikita went on. "I have come to Entoto for the main purpose of meeting you and Mr. Courtney. The three of us have affairs of great concern that are all linked in Omdurman. I have a friend to whom I owe complete loyalty, and close members of your family are held in captivity by the Dervish. I am certain that you are as anxious to procure their release as I am. To this end, I want to pledge to you all the assistance and support of which I am capable." Ryder and Saffron stared at her in silent astonishment. "Yes, I know that your elder sister and your twin are in the harem of the Emir Osman Atalan. My friend is the slave of the same man."
"May we know the name of your friend?" Ryder asked cautiously.
Bikita did not answer at once, then said, "My English is not good, but I think we must use your language, for very few people in Abyssinia understand it."
"Your English is very good, Sit Bikita," said Saffron. Her latent antagonism towards the other woman had undergone a sea change.
"You are kind, but it is not so."
She smiled at Saffron, then turned back to Ryder. "I could refuse to answer your question, but I want us to be honest with each other. I am sure that my friend is well known to both of you. He is Captain Penrod Ballantyne of the 10th Hussars."
"He is a valiant officer and a fine gentleman," Saffron exclaimed. "We last met him at the Atbara Gorge not more than 5 months ago."
"Oh, please, tell me how he was," Bikita exclaimed.
"He was well, although indistinguishable in dress and deportment from his captors," said Saffron.
"I knew he had been captured by the Dervish, but I heard he had been terribly abused and tortured. Your assurances are of much comfort to me." While they discussed Penrod, Ryder was thinking swiftly. From Bakshit he had heard a rumour which Nazira had told him, that Penrod had an intimate Egyptian friend. From the depth of her concern for him, there was little doubt that Bikita must be the lady in question. Ryder was shocked. Penrod was a highly decorated officer in a first-rate regiment. A liaison of this nature, if it came to light, might easily cost him his commission and his reputation.
"From all that you have told us, Sit Bikita, it is clear that we must pool all our intelligence and resources," he said. "Our first concern, which has been troubling me deeply, is how to get messages to and from our friends in Omdurman."
"I believe I am able to offer a means of communication." Bikita stood up and went to the door that led into the courtyard. She clapped her hands, and one of her bodyguard appeared before her. "I think you know this man," said Bikita, as he removed his headcloth and made a deep salam towards Ryder. "May God always protect you, Effendi."
"Yakob!"
Ryder was truly astonished. "I heard bad things about you. I heard that you had betrayed your master, Abadan Rigi. Effendi, sooner would I betray my father and mother, and may Allah hear my words and strike me down into hell if I lie," said Yakob. "The only remaining purpose in my life is to bring my master safely out of the clutches of the Dervish into which my uncle so treacherously led him. I will do anything," Yakob hesitated, then qualified his statement. "I will do anything except have any truck with the despicable Bakshit to save my master from the Dervish. If there is no other way, I may even abide with, for some brief time, the company of the nefarious Bakshit. However, I shall probably kill him afterwards." "On the matter of killing," Ryder told him grimly, "Abadan Rigi believes that you were as much the traitor as your uncle. He slew your uncle, and he means to do the same to you." "Then I must go to him and place my life and loyalty in his hands." "While you're about it," said Ryder dryly, "you may as well take your master a message and return to us with his reply."
It took 5 more days for Ryder and Bakita to evolve an escape plan for the prisoners in Omdurman that had a reasonable chance of success. On the following day, Jacob left alone for the Sudan.